Amen. May God again bless that message to our hearts. We thank God for his amazing love to our hearts this evening. Can we turn just for a minute, and it will be just for a minute, to the Psalm 92. I'm going to read from verse 1 of the Psalm, the Psalm 92, and reading from verse 1 of the Psalm. It says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. Then the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I will be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. The Psalm 92 is labeled and titled A Song for the Sabbath. It is the only psalm that has that title, and it demonstrates to us that the Sabbath for the Jew was not only to be a day of rest, but it was to be a day of worship. And you can see the very heart of what he says at the start there. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And that's what we've been seeking to do this evening. I read the story about a temperance preacher many years ago in the 19th century in the United States by the name of John B. Goff. And John B. Goff one day was coming into church, and he sat down beside a very ugly-looking individual. And this man was blind and paralyzed, and his body was twisted because of the infirmities that he had. And because he was so ugly-looking and repulsive-looking, John Goff sat at the far end of the pew. And then they announced the hymn. It was that lovely hymn of Charlotte Elliot, "Just As I Am Without One Plea." And he began to listen, John Goff, to the singing of the man, and he moved closer. And the singing was awful. It wasn't too good. But he began to listen to what he was singing, and something about this awful singing struck his heart. And in the interlude, as the organist was playing the introduction to the next verse, the blind man said to him, "Can you help me?" He said, "What is the start of the next verse?" And John Goff said to him, "Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind." And the man said, "That's me. I'm poor and wretched and blind." And he started to sing the next verse, and it wasn't any better, the singing, than had been before. But there was something about the heartfelt praise. And you know, you and I may not be able to sing like the brethren and our sister here this evening, but we can come with praise in our hearts to our God if we're saved. If we know the Lord, there's much to praise him for. And in this portion of Scripture, we have a number of reasons why we praise our God. I wonder tonight, have you got the song in your heart, the song of the soul set free? Are you saved by his grace? Have you that new song in your heart? I want you to see very briefly tonight the reasons why the psalmist praises his God, and it says it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and sing praises unto thy name. The first thing I think we can praise him for is his merciful favor. You notice what he says? He says that it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness. And that word loving kindness there is a very interesting word in the Hebrew. It's the word chesed. And that word has a very, in fact, Miles Coverdale, the translator, made up the word loving kindness in order to describe this word, because there is no word in English that really does describe it. Some of the modern versions make very bad attempts at it. The NIV says, proclaiming your love in the morning, and it translates it as love. Or the New Living Bible is a wee bit better. It says, unfailing love. But it doesn't reach what the author, the translator Miles Coverdale, the word that he made up, loving kindness. And even that doesn't portray all that it is. Because this is loving kindness, but it has the sense of relationship. It has the sense of those that are related one to another, and mercy and love and steadfastness in the midst of a relationship. It's a covenant word. It is covenant mercy, covenant faithfulness. And there is that relationship that we are brought into in God's grace. But that doesn't even convey it. Because over in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 17, we read it says, and if a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing, and they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness, he shall bear his iniquity. And the word there translated wicked thing is the same word that is translated loving kindness, or that the new translation, some of them give us love, or ordinarily is translated as kindness. In what way can this wickedness, this incest, be described as kindness or love or anything else? Well, there is the thought in this word of going beyond the boundaries, going beyond what is laid down. And when we get all that together, we have a wonderful picture of the love of God. We have the thought of covenant. It is a relationship. It is where God brings us into relationship with himself. And you know, we are sinners, lost and undone. We're going down the road to a lost eternity. And we cannot have a relationship with our God unless we have our sins dealt with. We have to be brought in. But those that are saved, washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, have that blessed relationship with him. We are cleansed from our sins, not because of what we are, what we have done, or anything about us. It is simply the love and the mercy of our great God. And he brings us into relationship with himself. And I hope that you're a child of God tonight, that you can say that I am his and he is mine forever and forever. Not only is there the thought of covenant relationship, but we said there's the sense of mercy. This is covenant mercy. And all we can depend upon tonight for our salvation is the mercy of God. That's all. We can bring nothing to him. It's not our religion or what we do or what we've done or what church we belong to. But it is the grace and the mercy of God. There was a lady one time that went to the Emperor Napoleon. And she was pleading for her son. And she said, Napoleon, to His Highness, the Emperor of France, she said to him, could you not pardon my son? And the emperor said to him, no, he says he has done this crime twice. He deserves to die. And she says, in justice, he must die. And the mother says, well, I'm not looking for justice. I'm looking for mercy. And the emperor said, but he says he doesn't deserve mercy. She says, well, mercy never deserves. It's never deserved. It is given by grace. And with that, the emperor pardoned her son. And that is mercy. We deserve nothing but a Christless hell. But our Savior died on the cross that we might be saved. And we can praise him for that. if we're saved in this meeting tonight. But then there's the thought of going beyond the boundaries. We said there that that verse in Leviticus that speaks about the sin of incense and how it is described as hesed. And that speaks of going beyond the boundaries. And I'm glad that our Savior went beyond the boundaries in love for me. You can illustrate it from the story of Ruth and Naomi, how they came out of Moab. If you know the story of Ruth in the Bible, you know that Ruth was a Moabitess. She was a foreigner. And how Naomi was an Israelite, and she said, I'm going home. Her husband had died, her sons, the husband of Ruth had died, and her other son had died, and she was going home. And she says, I'm going home to Ruth. And she says, you go back to your own people. You don't need to follow me. Remember what Ruth said? She said, entreat me not to leave thee, or return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. And she chose God. And in that sense of loyal love that went beyond what is required, there you have the illustration of this word, hesed. It is love that goes beyond anything that is required. And I'm glad that I have a Savior whose love went beyond anything that anybody would have thought possible. We think of what it says in Romans chapter 5 and verses 7 and 8. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were in rebellion against him, when we were at enmity against him, when we were turning our backs upon him, he died that we might be redeemed. He died that sinners might be saved. Oh, dear friend, what love, what wondrous love, the love of God to me that sent my Savior from above to die on Calvary. Oh, do you know my Savior? Have you ever come by the way of the cross? Have you ever trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? There is a second reason why we praise him. Not only do we think of the merciful favor of God, but we praise him because of the marvelous faithfulness of God. Look again at verse 2. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Now the word there for faithfulness is the Hebrew word emunah. And again, we have different shades of meaning in the word. We think of how it speaks of firmness, of steadiness. Remember when Moses was praying for the children of Israel in the battle, and the hands of Moses were flagging, and he began to get tired in the midst of the of his praying. And as he flagged in his prayer, Amalek began to prevail. And it was only as he was steadfast in prayer that Israel was prevailing. And you remember how that Aaron and Hur came and they steadied his hands. They held up his hands. And in Exodus 17 and 12 it says his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And the word steady there is the word emunah. It speaks of strength. It speaks of steadiness. And it also comes from a word that means to prop up or sustain or to lift up. Like a father lifting his child, carrying his child. Or to build up, like an architect or a workman building a building. And again we have the thoughts there of strength. The Lord is strong. He is steady. As he stretched out the heavens and founded everything that is around us, so thank God we have a God of power. One day, the Lord came to Abram and to Sarah and said that in their old age they would have a son. And they couldn't believe what the Lord was saying. And they were disbelieved in their hearts. But we read the response of God to their unbelief. And he said to them, is anything too hard for the Lord? And of course the answer to that is no. There's nothing too hard for him. And maybe you think tonight, down in your sin and in whatever condition you may be, that it is too hard for God to save you. You've gone too far. You've gone too low. You have transgressed too much. You've gone on in life. There's nothing that can be done for you. You couldn't change. You couldn't be transformed. You couldn't have a new life. You couldn't live the life of religion. But is there anything too hard for God? Remember what he said in Ezekiel 36. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments to do them. Is anything too hard for God? Remember how Saul, that hard-hearted individual, was going up to Damascus to persecute the people of God. And he was absolutely adamant against the things of God. And the Lord stepped in. And did the Lord change him with a sword? No. Did he change him with a hammer? No. How did he change that hard-hearted sinner? With just a word, just a question. Why persecutest thou me? Why are you going the way that you're going? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why do you keep on doing what you're doing, Saul? Why are you doing this? With that question, he was laid in the dust. And he realized that he was a sinner. And by the power of God, he was drawn to himself. Though that God's power would reach into your heart tonight, and that you might come and find this blessed Savior. He is strong. He also supports, like a father lifting the child. He carries us in the days of difficulty, in the days when it's hard. Thank God there is one who puts his arms around us, and he lifts us up, and he bears us along the pathway of life. I'm glad that I have a God who cares, a God who understands. And we can praise him for that. And I hope tonight that you can join in with the praises for his marvelous faithfulness. Well, one more reason why we can praise our God for his manifold functions. Look at verses 4 and 5. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands, O Lord. How great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. Now, we just say tonight, what are the works of God? He says, these works have made him glad. Well, there's the works of creation. You look around you tonight, and you look at the beauty of creation, and you see the hands that have made all things. You think of the God who has put music in the world, and all these wonderful things. And may we glorify God for his creation. Those things have made us God glad. We glorify God for his providence. What is his providence? His upholding and sustaining all things and keeping all things. And we realize that the very breath of our lungs is in the hands of God. And we recognize that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And we can thank him for that. Do you thank him for that? You glad that God has brought you to this day? That you're still alive? That you're still provided for? You recognize that? But also, most of all, the work of God that has made us glad tonight is his work of salvation. You know, that's something that makes the angels marvel. We know, think of how they sang at his birth, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. That the blessed Son of God would leave the regions of glory and come into this world. And why did he come? Well, he said himself, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And he went to that cross and he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And you think of that love. What love that was to die on the cross. We cannot even comprehend what it meant for our Savior to be stretched, to be pierced, to have those hands and feet pierced and his side. And the wrath of God poured out upon him. And that cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But God could not look upon even his Son as he bore the sins of men and women. And he cannot look upon your sin. But he wants to bring you in. And he wants to put a new song in your mouth, even praise unto God. And oh, that you might come tonight and bow the knee before the mighty Saviour of men and find the one who's able to save to the uttermost. Will you come tonight and make this a praise service indeed, in which men and women come and find the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour? Let's just bow in a wee word of prayer and let's close our meeting tonight. And that God might draw you to himself, and we'd love to help you and speak to you if you don't know the Saviour. We'd love to help you. We'd love to give you literature and to direct you, to guide you. But dear friend, you need to be saved. You need the Saviour. Will you come and trust that Saviour tonight? Our loving God and our gracious Father, we do thank thee for the praises tonight. We thank thee for the amazing grace of our God. We bless thee for thy mercies, and our God for thy loving kindness, thy chesed mercy. We thank thee for thy faithfulness. We bless thee for thy strength and for thy support. And our God, we thank thee for being with thy people day by day. Our God, it is our prayer that those that know not thee might come and find thee as their Saviour tonight. And bless this meeting to the salvation of precious souls. Lord, do take of our thanks for the good things that have been prepared for us. May we eat and drink to thy glory. We'd ask that thou wouldst bless as we continue in fellowship together. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen.